From a channeled message that Pam Padalano received to the ears of thousands of human beings all over the world, a message of love and hope for the future of the human race. On Awakened Soul Stories on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, Fridays at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m., we'll speak with awakened humans from all walks of life, living their true life purpose and sharing their experiences to help others gain the same knowledge. Her guests are inspiring and insightful with true life experiences that will bring you the peace and guidance your soul desires. Listen in on Fridays at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. as we give you the tips and tools to help live your best life and be of the highest vibration in this world and the next. Pam has helped hundreds of people navigate successfully on their path to understanding the one true consciousness.
Thank you for joining us again. This is episode 6 of Awakened Soul Stories. And right now it's just Mike and I. Our guest is on his way. So in the meantime, we're going to give, you know, talk about a few things that happened this week and, you know, just give some shout outs, which Mike will do that in a second. I wanted to talk a little bit about paying it forward tonight, because it seems to be something that we need in society right now, and maybe that's something that's lacking a little bit. So I'm missing my page. Here we go. What does it mean to pay it forward? When you ask someone to pay it forward, it simply means that you ask them to repay your kindness by doing a good deed for someone else. When they do a good deed for someone, they ask that person to pay it forward. Sometimes they even ask others to pay it forward to several other people. And paying it forward is an interesting thing, because not only does it benefit other people and the people that you help, it also benefits you. And they've done studies on this, and it shows that it actually boosts your immune system by doing things for other people when you do a kindness. And it also contributes toward the greater good of your self-worth and your self-esteem to do good things for other people and to pay it forward, as they say. It can prevent people from becoming isolated, encouraging them to meet new people and stepping outside of their comfort zone. So basically, it gets people off the couch and involved, either with their community or people that are in need of help. Do a good deed to a homeless person. There are so many things you can do for a homeless person. Pay for someone's coffee. And you read about this on social media an awful lot, about how people are in line at Dunkin' Donuts and or you know, whatever coffee place may be around, and the person in front of them pays for their coffee. And in turn, that person will pay for somebody behind them. So it's a gift that keeps on giving, as they say. And it's the results are absolutely fascinating. You can also participate in a cleanup day. So if your community is doing a community cleanup, participate. Donate some of your clothing. Or you can run for a good cause. For your birthday, ask for donations to a specific charity instead of asking for gifts. Free up some of your spare change, and you know, you can give it to somebody maybe who's homeless, and that's, again, how you would pay it forward. Donate some of your books. maybe to a children's library or a homeless shelter. Our guest is here, so I'm going to let him come in. Just come on around. If you don't want to. So just some things to think about, some things that you can do for people in community, or, you know, it doesn't have to be anybody that you know. But what I want you to do is to try to do one good deed this week. And you know, we're going to talk about how that affects you and how it affects things in your life for that particular week or that particular day. It's kind of like good karma. So it's just something to think about, and if you're able to do it, you should. Even if you're not able to do it, you still should do it, because that kindness will come back to you tenfold. So that's my little blurb for today, and I'm gonna let Mike do the shout outs.
Oh, well, welcome back. It's funny how we run Facebook Live prior to the setup here. And those of you that were tuning into the Facebook Live, I just chuckled to myself inside when we started rolling how calm Pam was. And, you know, 30 seconds before that, it was just mayhem, you know, with mics and John, you know, going to be delayed a little bit and that kind of thing. And we just go with the flow. That's it. It's Monday. What do you expect? We've got some shout outs here. The list is getting longer, so, you know. We truly appreciate the support from everyone out there, you know, starting to gain a nice little following.
Yes, we are.
A lot of nice compliments. Thank you for that. So look, top of the list, we've got Mama Linda. You know who you are. We've got KJ, Carolyn Wayne, Anne Marie and David, Sandy, Angela, and we've got Margaret and Bob. So you know who you are if you happen to be catching this. Thank you for your support. And I've got a nice little story about paying it forward, my little thing this week. I'll share that a little bit later.
Everyone, share it now.
Oh, well, I can share it now.
Why not?
So my little thing of paying it forward came at a little cost to me. I was in the landscaping store purchasing some material and stuff, and there was a woman in there who was talking about how she wanted to have a nice lawn, and she was in there to purchase some products because she said she had her lawn hydroseeded last year by someone
named Mike Moody.
When I asked who did the lawn, because she didn't look familiar to me, she said, I don't know, some guy Mike Moody. And so the guy behind the counter, the manager of the store, looked at me and said, you know that guy? And I said, I think so. He sounds kind of familiar. So I said, would it be Mike Mooney? And she said, yeah, I think that's him. And she told me her address and, you know, where she lived. And certainly it was a job that I had done for a contractor. And she was picking up materials. She had, you know, a small vehicle and wasn't able to fit all of the stuff in that vehicle. So I figured on my way home, why don't I throw all that material in the back of my truck and, you know, offer a little kindness and drop it off for her. She was thrilled, very appreciative of that. And so I got over to her house and I was standing up in the bed of my truck and she said, I'm going to let my dogs out, and you're okay with that, right? And I said, of course, I have a couple of dogs myself. And so, you know, I'm standing up there, and the dog came out and decided to, you know, smell my work boot a little bit. I'm looking at it, and then, you know, that inner voice said, you probably don't want to get down off the tailgate. And lo and behold, once again, in classic fashion, I didn't heed the advice from the inner voice. So I got down from the truck and grabbed a bag of fertilizer, and the dog proceeded to bite me in the thigh. So it latched onto my thigh pretty good. But that was my, but that is not gonna stop me. We'll continue, you know, doing those little things. And
for people.
It always comes back full circle. My grandmother always said that, as far back as I can remember. Never be afraid to give, whether it's monetary, your time. Your time is very valuable. It's one of the most precious things that we have, giving of your time for other people or being of service to others. It's a great, great thing to do.
True story.
So, all right, so let's get on to the meat and potatoes here of what's going on today.
Apparently John's the meat and potatoes. So I'm so excited because we have a very special guest tonight. And first I have to preface this with the way that we met. Actually, this is the first time we're actually meeting in person. So a couple of months ago, I put up my new page for my Tree of Life Healing Center in Mystic. And John, I don't know how you got on the page, but you asked if I did readings. And I private messaged him. And through that conversation, we set up a time and a date for a Zoom reading. And on the day of the Zoom reading, now I have to be honest about this. Like, I never ask for information from anybody because I don't want to know their background. Sometimes I don't even ask their last name because I don't want to ever be accused of like looking anything up beforehand. You know, everything that I get is organic, and Mike can attest to that. And the same was with John. So I didn't know who he was. I didn't know where he came from. I had no idea. So we're in the Zoom meeting, and I can't even get through this without laughing because this was funny. So part of what I said to him, and I don't think you'll mind if I share this, was, you know, I see like people looking up to you, like you're leading a group, and you know, and I said, does this sound familiar to you? And he's like, what? You didn't Google me? And I said, no, I don't Google anybody. I swear to God, I don't Google anybody. And he said, well, I am the retired police chief from Barrington, Rhode Island. And as soon as he said that, I knew immediately who he was, because a couple of years before, this article came across my Facebook feed about this cop who actually uses mediums. And to me, that was like so exciting, because you never hear that, because by nature, the police are very black and white, and you know, they are very logical. So to use a medium and be in that gray area is, you know, I find it really exciting, because I've actually worked with a couple of police departments in the past few years. So I just was, I said, I know who you are. And he's like, you do? I said, yes, because I read the article, and I shared it with Mike, and I had shared it with a bunch of other people that, you know, kind of do what I do, because it was like, can you believe this? Can you believe this guy? He actually uses mediums. So to me, it was like, oh my God, he's sitting on my Zoom screen right now. So that's how I met John. So again, he's the retired police chief from Barrington, Rhode Island. He's also a Reiki master. He's a mindfulness instructor. He started this page on Facebook called Signs from Above. So basically it's, you know, a group of people that have gotten signs from their loved ones or some kind of sign from the universe. And we post pictures and we talk about it, and, you know, I haven't posted anything yet, but it's fun to watch. And it seems like you're having a really good time with that page. So he also owns a Reiki practice in East Providence, Rhode Island. And I'll let him give all that information about it, because he has quite the lengthy resume. So with no further ado, it's John LaCrosse.
Thank you very much.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You want to ask questions?
No, or how? Just tell us about yourself and,
oh,
you know, and then we'll ask questions.
Okay. I first started with the state police in Rhode Island. I was at URI studying, and there was an academy coming out, so I left college, joined the state police. Went 23 years on the state police in Rhode Island and made it up to the number two position. And then being a 25-year job by law, you had to leave. I left the state police, retired after 23 years, and had Martin Luther King weekend off, and was hired to become the chief in Barrington, Rhode Island. Of course, my kids were like, no, Dad, don't do it, you know, because they were going to school in Barrington, and they didn't want their father as the chief. So I thought I was going to be there 2 to 3 years, because it's a small town and maybe local politics, and I'm being on the state police, you don't put up with local politics, and ended up staying there for 17 years. I had a brother who died just before the state police, so I was always on a spiritual journey to see if he's alive. Can I communicate with him? Can he hear me? Can he give me signs? So naturally, being a state trooper, you know, you put up that wall and you don't tell anyone like that, because they'll put you
right. In
evaluation. And so I kind of kept that quiet for 23 years, and then went into a couple of readings from mediums, and had a very good reading from Roland Comtois, mutual friend, and then Maureen Hancock, who was excellent, and others in between, and started getting more evidence and belief that they were connecting to my loved ones, not just my brother, but others who had also passed. I started taking Reiki in 2003, kept that a secret in Barrington, didn't want to tell anyone. Funny story was, I was with the dog officer in this big van, and I looked down on the floor, and there was Reiki 1 book, and he saw me looking at it, and he kicked it under the table, under his chair. So he's driving, and he goes, oh, Chief, don't worry about that. I said, Joe, what was that? He goes, oh, that's something I'm just reading. I said, that's like life force, universal life force energy or something you can bring down from above and send it through your hands. He's like, how do you know? Which I didn't want to tell him I had taken Reiki 1 and going to take Reiki 2. Oh, you know a lot. I said, yeah, well, whatever. So then I started, I became a Reiki master and bought a table and started doing it out of my house, and volunteered at Women's and Infants Hospital. Was a certified volunteer giving Reiki to people with bad pregnancies and cancer and stuff like that. Did that for about 2 years. And then I came out of the spiritual closet, and somebody saw me doing a guided meditation at Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And I was pushed by, I think, my brother to do this. 2006, I'll never forget it. I was supposed to do opening remarks and about stats and drunk driving cases. And I said, you know, people don't want to hear that. They want to be connected to their loved one who died from a DUI crash or got hit by a drunk driver. So I started penning out some words, and when I got to the high school auditorium, the director of Mothers Against Drunk Driving said it's going to be about maybe 100 people. Well, there were 400. And in the front row was a couple state troopers that I worked with and all the police chiefs. And I'm like, oh my God. So had told the kid who was working the lights and the music, I said, when I go up to do my introduction, I said, dim the lights and put that music back on. He goes, really? How are you going to see? I said, don't worry about it. So the lights went down, music came on, and the people are like going like this to the guy, the kid in the back. He goes, well, Chief told me to keep the music on. So then I started telling people to put their feet flat on the floor, put, you know, their back up, close their eyes, take a breath, and look at the darkness in their mind. See a light. Walk towards the light. As you get closer, you see a loved one who passed in a motor vehicle crash or got, you know, passed by a drunk driver. Step into the light, see their face, see their eyes, hug them, hold them. And it went on, and people were like crying and all upset. And the lights came back on after, I think it was like 5 or 6 minutes. And the director came up, and she was crying so much she couldn't even talk on the microphone.
Gosh.
Yeah, so it was pretty powerful. And then fast forward from there, somebody from the Providence Journal caught wind of it, because I was asked to come back every year for the annual vigil. And so I did it, and then they wrote a story about my spiritual side, 2014. That's why I thought you Googled me back then and saw, I know about this guy. So
no Googling.
Oh, no.
It was a very good reading, by the way, for people out there. Pam's very good.
No, Pam brought the article to my attention and shared that. And again, you know, we have people like this come on to the show. because we're all fringe dwellers and we're coming out of the spiritual closet. There's a lot of us out there. And, you know, we work today in our respective jobs, and, you know, John's career and occupation, you know, is definitely one that probably is less accepting based on the nature of the work that you do and stuff. I'm curious, John, you know, what was the response from the individuals sitting in the front row?
Well, that was pretty funny because they were like looking at me like that. And I mean, and I actually said, and you too, close your eyes, you guys down in the front. And so they had to put the head down and close their eyes. And
that is so funny.
And actually, one of the colonels from the Rhode Island State Police who fast forward 2014 was at one. He said, it was pretty amazing because I really could see my uncle who had passed and, you know, actually talked to him and hugged him. And then I tell him to step out of the light, walk away, and as you walk away, you hear your footsteps, and then you turn, and there's other people in the light with your loved one. They're all smiling and waving. They're okay. And he said that was pretty wild.
Wow.
You know, and I've also heard of some pretty amazing stories with people in law enforcement. So really, it's not that big of a stretch because oftentimes, you know, that sixth sense mm-hmm. of an officer being in a particular situation, you know, may get information or, you know, a heightened awareness.
Right.
So really, it's not that far of a stretch, really, to conceive of, you know, taking it one step further and going inside.
It's just
and
the coming out thing.
The coming out thing, people, is big for everyone.
So.
And you know, you may get resistance and you may get people that, you know, they want to steer you in a different direction. Listen to the voice inside.
That's what happened. And so when this article came out, and actually, it was pretty interesting because when that came out, I had asked my brother for a sign. This is the weirdest thing. And so it's not weird to me anymore because it just happened so much. And when, like you said earlier, when you're open to that inner nudge of that voice, they keep coming. And I was a detective for 8 years, you know, organized crime and search warrants and everything else. And there's no way of explaining it except that there is a connection to the other side. So I was driving to work and I told my brother Joey, who had passed, and I said, listen, give me a sign. I'm supposed to be doing something more than this, you know, something spiritual. Because I've been the chief now for 12 years, and so I go into the office, and the little light's flashing, and for my voice message, and I said, I'm not going to get that. I said, okay, I'll get it. So I push the button. Hi, this is Katie Mulvaney from the Providence Journal. Chief, I like to do me. I said, I don't want to talk to the Providence Journal because they're always looking for a story. The inner voice said, listen to that call. So I said, okay. So I push it again, and I listen. I was at the Mothers Against Drunk Driving vigil, and I was so moved and impressed by how you led this group through a guided meditation, and everybody got, you know, connected to their loved ones. And would you want to do an interview with me about your spiritual side? I'm like, oh my God! I just asked my brother to get more involved spiritually. There's a message on the machine. I get there now. That message, the vigil, was a month earlier, so she waited almost 4 weeks, and then left me that message and wanted to interview me. So naturally, I go home and I tell my wife, and she goes, oh, no, you don't. I'm like, what? You're not going to get interviewed by the Providence Journal. You know, if they tease you or if they, you know, make you look like an idiot. I said, then I'm an idiot. I believe her. She's going to do a good article, and she did. I was very happy with it.
Wow. Wasn't there two? That was the first one.
That was the first one. So the second one, came out because that one out all Associated Press. I went over to California and people were sending me cards and letters and about, you know, being spiritual as a police chief, which is actually very good because you have compassion and
right. It
shows like we, you know, paying it forward or giving acts of kindness. And that's what I try to tell the men and women of Barrington, is this is what it's about. It's not about being the cop, robocop, and writing tickets and arresting people. It's being compassionate to people who are having, everybody has a story. So a couple years forward, I guess somebody from Associated Press called about mediums and said, I hear you, you know, like mediums or connected to mediums. I said, oh yeah. She goes, can you give me a few mediums? So I gave him a few, this lady, a few mediums. She was from Florida. So when she started talking to me about my story, she goes, forget that. I want to interview you. So I told the whole story from college all the way to the present. And I think I told her that, you know, I built a case that there is an afterlife and we can connect to our loved ones who have passed. So that's her title, Chief Builds Case for Afterlife.
Yeah, we have it, right?
It was a different thing. Once the Associated Press sent it to Boston, they changed it. Chief says, if you're grieving, go see a medium. Well, I didn't say that. That's right. Kind of insensitive. Basically, what I told this lady from Associated Press was that I think I built a case and connected to my brother and others enough times to know that they are alive and well in spirit. So it came out, you know, somebody put a little twist up in Boston, and but then that went out all over. And same thing, I had mediums calling me, thanking me, and everything else. And now there are very good mediums, and there's some people you have to watch out for. So,
right.
And I said that in the article, and I said, you just, you know, by word of mouth, I think is the best way to find a good medium.
Right, and Pam would refer to those as neon psychics. We have a history, Pam and I, of dropping in on these mediums for readings every once in a while.
Testing the waters.
When we see the neon signs as kind of like a little joke, perhaps.
And they always want to charge Mike $300 to move that negative entity around him.
I've got a train of a black cloud that follows me around. It's a very long train. And I had a reading one time. Actually, it was a birthday present from Pam. And I walked in. I was excited.
This is actually pretty funny.
I was excited and the reading finished, and she goes, what's the matter? And I was extremely depressed. I didn't want to go on. So what happened was the medium was telling me, you know, that I dragged in a whole line of dark entities that followed me in, and, you know, he wanted to, he could get rid of them for me.
$300
It seems to be the going rate these days to get rid of entities is right around $300 or so.
Yes.
And then, you know, so we've had that experience. I've had that experience numerous times.
Had it in Newport. We kind of laugh about this, and you would appreciate this. And we were in Newport, and there was a psychic there. So Mike was like, let's go see her. So we made an appointment, and we were going in together. And I said, we were in the car, and I said, listen, if she's going to charge you $300 to get that negative entity around you, we're leaving. And probably halfway into the conversation, she said, oh, you need so much more work. I can pray. I said, let me guess. It's $300. And she's like, how did you know that? It was so funny.
Like anything else, buyer beware.
Right.
Word of mouth is definitely, yeah. You know, talk to people who have had sessions with mediums. And I've got a plethora of stories of Pam and stories that we're not going
to
talk about that today, but so that's filler material for future shows. But
we're
going to talk about John. And John, you know, one interesting question. So after this, you know, what was life back at the station?
Well, after 2014, I called my lieutenant and I said, hey, just come up here for a minute. He goes, wait a minute, Chief, I got to meditate. I'm like, here we go.
No,
we're going to start this now. And so they were teasing, and, you know, I just felt I had to do it, and I wanted to do it to let people know it's okay to have a spiritual side, you know. And I get teased a little bit, but then the second one came out, and I really didn't like the way the Associated Press up in Boston, because this lady came from Florida, and she actually flew up to interview me from Associated Press, and did a very good story. She showed me the original draft, you know, Chief Bild's case for Afterlife, and they switched it around, and that got kind of like a little more of a dig, you know. I didn't care really what they thought, and I was at the point in my career at that point, I was approaching 40 years in law enforcement, and I said, you know what, if the town manager doesn't like it and people don't like it, then I'll just retire and pursue my Reiki side job, or my little hobby I had, and as you mentioned, mindfulness meditation, which I think is very good, and so I mix the mindfulness meditation with Reiki at the same time. So I've done, Rhode Island teachers, principals, nursing staff from Rhode Island, Edward Jones people. I've done law enforcement up in Massachusetts, Canton, Mass, Westport, Westwood, Mass, a couple of others, and at Roger Williams University, I've done mindfulness classes. So 2020, not so much, but this year it's actually picked up pretty good so far. And Zoom classes, we've been doing Zoom. And I was on the state police, I was pretty technical when it came to installing wiretaps, because that was my job, getting up on the pole and putting, you know, these devices in the boots. And, you know, I have a whole different story about state police days. But then when it came to Zoom, I'm like, huh? You know, what do I do here? I have no idea. You know, computers, and they didn't have computers. I hate to say that the public, but when I was out there as a rookie, there were no pages, there were no cell phones. It was old fashioned, and we had typewriters when I first got on the state police. So when it came to Zoom, naturally I needed some help, and once you get it, it's not too bad.
Sure. How about any officers that, you know, through your experience have maybe taken you aside and asked you for advice or help?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Especially, you know, a lot of with grief counseling, with the loss of loved ones, with parents and stuff like that, you know, I would pull them aside. And actually people in Barrington, because we had a lot of kids die with underage drinking and suicides, things like that. And if I felt the time was right, I would just say, listen, if you want to talk, I know a medium that I fully trust, and it might be just a way of getting a little bit of grief off your back. You know, you'll always have grief, because grief is love. I mean, that's sure. What it is. It's, and you just manage it. But this might help you believe that there is a life after for your loved one. So there were a few police officers in that same situation that I gave a few names out to. I was more of like an agent, because I'm not a medium, but,
right.
You know, if you want names, you go to this person. If you don't want a name, go to that person. This
sure,
person
right.
can do this. And so I got pretty good at it, and they were very happy. Actually, two of the parents from town just can't thank me enough. I think it's life-changing for them.
It's closure, too. It gives them some sense of closure.
Well, it's closure, but it's also knowing that they can take out a picture and talk to their loved one, and that their loved one hears them.
Sure.
And this gentleman, I won't say his name for privacy reasons, but I actually asked him to speak to our high schools in Barrington and then throughout the state for underage drinking, because his son died in a car crash. Oh. And he takes his picture out and he talks to his son, and people are crying, you can hear a pin drop, and he's probably saved hundreds of lives because of his speeches. In belief, it's these people in the audience that maybe they didn't go out drinking that Friday night or Saturday night. He was very powerful. I'm not sure if he's still doing it.
Yeah. So, you know, for the people that are watching, the people that are tuning in, you know, what would you say to them? I mean, because, again, they may be in a place where, you know, they want to dip a toe in the water, and you know, whether it's with mediums or, you know, mindfulness. I mean, what's the best advice if someone came to you and said, look, how do I get started in this? What would you suggest to them?
That's a good question, because there's a lot of books they can start to read. You know, instead of just going to a medium right away, they can start going on actually like Google or YouTube or something like that. But I think it's just a matter of trusting whatever's coming to them. You mentioned that earlier. It's whatever that inner voice is telling you, do it. you know, and don't stop. You know, follow that inner voice. It might be looking over here and there's a sign, or there's something that's familiar with the loved one who's passed. And it just happens all the time now, because if you're open to it, it just pours in. And they're looking to give you signs. And it, again, one time, I think we both know Roland, right?
Yes. So does Mike very well.
So with Katie Mulvaney, that was 2014, I asked my brother. So 2009, I'm driving down because I met Maureen Hancock, who's a big medium up in Massachusetts.
Salem, right?
Yep, and she told me about my brother and everything else, so I laminated a picture, so I kept it on the visor of the police car. Now, texting and driving was probably taboo then, so I was like holding a picture and driving, put it back up and ask him for a sign, and sure enough, get in there, I'm doing work, for 2 hours the phone rings, it's the medium, Roland Comtois from Connecticut, saying if I had a minute. And my question to my brother is, am I on the right spiritual path? Or should I leave this job? Because, you know, there's so much going on. And so give me a sign, like the Beatles, a song was what he liked. Or you got to ask and,
sure.
and really pinpoint what you want. Just not a sign, but something that would resonate with the loved one who passed. I said, give me something. So I go in 2 hours later, the phone rings. I said, it was during interviews. I said, I got to go get this. I'm like, Roland Comtois. So what does he want? I'm like, hey, Roland, how you doing? He goes, hey, John, you got a minute? You know how he talks.
Yeah.
I said, sure, I got like 5 or 10 minutes. Well, I was in meditation this morning, and Spirit told me that, you know, call John and tell him everything he does, you know, is based on love, and they're applauding him. So I'm like, oh, isn't that nice, Roland? That's great. And that you're on the right path you need to be on. I'm like, what? Well, they're saying, you know, tell John that, you know, he's loved. I said, no. You said something about a path. Well, they're telling me to tell you you're on the right spiritual path that you need to be on.
Gotta love it.
My jaw dropped. I got him on the phone. I said, Roland.
That's great.
Yeah, John. I said, you got a bug in my car? What? I said, a listening device. No, of course not. Why would you say that? He's all upset. I said, Roland, 2 hours earlier, I took my brother's picture down.
Oh, my God.
I said, I need a sign. Tell me I'm on the right spiritual path, because if not, yeah, I don't know what to do here with Barrington. I might leave. You call me 2 hours later. I go up here to him. He goes to you. You come back to me and tell me I'm on the right spiritual path. Doesn't get better than that. He goes, oh, isn't that awesome? I said, it's beyond awesome. I said, you can't, that's not a coincidence.
You can't make that
I haven't
stuff
talked
up.
To you in 2 years, Roland. And now you call me and tell me exactly what I want to find out.
And this is why we do this show. You know,
it is.
John said earlier that everyone has a story. That's what we've been talking about since day one on what our goal of this particular show is.
And it keeps changing.
You know, yeah.
It does. It keeps changing, but it's fine.
And we have people from all walks of life, because I think there's a lot more people out there that want, you know, than want to, you know, come forward and
right.
admit it. For fear, I think a lot of it's fear of being shunned or
ridiculed,
made fun of, ridiculed.
Right.
You know, and it's a matter of, especially now in today's age, I mean, we need more people like John, you know, to come forward. We've all had these experiences in one fashion or another.
Just identifying them and not being afraid what other people think, because ultimately, that doesn't even make a difference in your life, right? The important thing is connecting with your loved ones. And you know, if you're interested in this kind of thing, as we call it, you know, reach out to one of us, because we're happy to talk about it with you. And you know, if we can answer your questions or explain it to you. And, you know, we've been through it. We've been through the ringer with this, all of it. So, you know, people like us understand the basic fundamentals of it, and we can explain it to you. Whether it makes sense or not, you know, you have to wait till you have an experience,
mm-hmm.
and then it makes perfectly good sense. Everything is very clear after that, and you will never be a doubter again.
That's right, I agree. And once you get it, it's gonna grab a hold of you, and it's not gonna let go. You know, that's not to say that life's gonna be all sunshine and rainbows. So yes, it's hills and valleys. And, you know, John made a very good point when I asked how would he suggest someone starts. You have to find a book or someone out there that you resonate with, and you'll know immediately. For me, it was probably 20 years ago. It was back in 2000, and it was 20 years ago, 2001. And I was, you know, surfing the, you know, with the remote, and, you know, Wayne Dyer came up on one of his PBS specials. And I listened, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds kind of corny, you know, talking about intention and that kind of thing. And so later on that night, that was back when I used to sleep with the TV on, you know, woke up in the middle of the night, and there he was again. And, you know, for that week, surfing channels, he would pop up, and then I watched it, and that was it. I mean, there was a lot of things that he said that I could resonate with. And so he just happened to be a person like we are, just putting out the message. You know, we're the messengers, you know. And you find something in a book or someone that has a message that resonates with you. It's worth pursuing. I think at the end of the day, we're all connected to the source. And I think Carlos Castaneda said in one of his books, we're connected. The question is, how rusty is that link? You know, and so going down this spiritual path, you know, you get some of that rust off there and open yourself up, like John said. And when that happens, trust me when I tell you.
Be prepared.
And you're paying attention to the signs. I mean, they're there. But you do have to ask, right, John? I mean, that's...
Yeah, and that's you brought up a few good points. And it's about asking, but it's also about believing, you know, and not saying, oh, that's a coincidence, oh, this is a coincidence. And everything can be a coincidence if you want it to be. Or it can be a sign if it's something that you actually asked for. You mentioned something came up twice, and then you kind of acted on it. So that same thing happened to me. I was in my work in Barrington, I'm on the computer, and all of a sudden something popped up on junk mail or whatever, a big, who's the guy up in Massachusetts, John Holland, is a medium, and he's having a mindfulness, not mindfulness, a meditation and mediumship one for beginners. Oh my God, that was July, I think I had that. So I looked at it, hit search, found the same email a year earlier. That I got, that I was interested, but I never acted on it. I said, this is it. I got to go to this because it's number two. Told my wife. My wife's like, oh, brother, here we go. More medium stuff, right? God bless her. You know, she's still with me because I put her through the ringer. So I say, I got to go up for this one class. It's 8 hours. So I go up there in Massachusetts, and John Holland's up there. I don't tell anybody anything. You know, I pay at the door. We're sitting at tables of 10. And in between John Holland's break and lunch is a medium coming up through the ranks. This is 2006, Maureen Hancock. And she comes meandering through the whole thing, telling me all about this guy. He's 19, 20 years old. He died, he's sudden death, and he's going with his hand a long time ago, which is when my brother died. And I'm like, I gotta give me more, because mm-hmm. I'm a cop. Give
me
the evidence. Come on. Yeah, come on. Yeah. You're almost there. Give me some more. And then she walked 80 feet almost at my table with these other 10 people, and somebody distracted her. And I'm like, oh my God. So then I'm mad at myself for not raising my hand. Oh, that could be my brother. So when the class is over, she waited, and he's done. It's 4 o'clock. I was like O.J. Simpson, the old days, George Costanza. I'm pushing people over. I got to get to Maureen Hancock and find out. I walked up to her. She looked right at me. She goes, it was your brother, wasn't it? 2 hours later, I said, yes. I said, you got four things about him. She goes, why didn't you raise your hand? I said, I was just about to, and then some lady with cat glasses and leopard pants and distracted you. And I said, I'm sorry, I should have. So make a long story short, I said, you got this, all things about it happened 25 years ago, but what's his name? And she put her hand out, put it over my shoulder. She said, Joseph. I said, you're right. So she put her hand up, slapped a five. She goes, John, never doubt it. He's on your right shoulder. He's with you. Do you talk to him in your police car? I said, yes, I do. You're a cop, right? I said, yes, I am. She goes, don't doubt it. And that's when I got his picture. I laminated it, and I recommend that to anyone who's lost a loved one. Smiling picture of your loved one. Laminate it. Keep it in the car, in your purse, pocketbook, and talk to your loved one and ask them for signs. And that's how you start, really. So I started asking, and then all of a sudden they start coming back, and Roland's calling, and it's crazy. But one thing I did want to share with the viewers here, you talked about signs. So this is a book, and I'm not promoting this book on signs by Laura Jackson, but this is how, I can't say weird because it's the truth. And people might say it's a coincidence, but I believe this is all directed by the other side, whether it's my brother, the team of light of loved ones above my brother, spirit guides, or God and Jesus or whoever himself. So I'm kneeling down, and you should always try to meditate if you can. And I'm asking for, you know, my spiritual path has been kind of boring lately. Can you give me something to get the thing going? You're laughing, you think it's funny, but give me something like it, something spiritually. And thank you very much. This is early January 2021. So being a cop and being into notes and taking photographs of everybody. So I write these things down. And that's another thing, do a journal. Books, and then journal what you get. So January, I asked for the sign, something spiritual, like I did for my brother, and Roland called. 2-3 days later, I think it's on the 8th of January, this lady from Channel 12 News calls and says, hey, Chief, this is so-and-so from Channel 10. Would you want to be on Studio 10 show about mediums? I'm like, that's weird. And so 2 days later, I was just meditating. I was like, oh, let me email. I said, well, I'm not a medium, but I do believe in signs from above and, you know, things like that. She goes, okay, can you talk about that? Because I had just seen Surviving Death on Netflix. So Surviving Death, and then a week passed, I meditate, asking for something to come into my life. Girl from Channel 10 sends me an email, wants me to be on some Studio 10 show. Sorry, I'd never heard of it before, but it was very good. And I get on it. And then I decide maybe I'll start Signs from Above on Facebook group. So the 15th, I go on Channel 10. The 19th, I start Signs from Above so people can share their stories, be vulnerable, and throw them out there, or just watch other people and say, hey, I got the same sign. 15th, 19th, the 22nd, my daughter and son-in-law come to our house, and she gives me a belated birthday present called Signs, The Secret Language of the Universe by Laura Jackson. I'm like, this is just falling in place too many times to be a coincidence. I'm like, oh my God, I just started a thing on Facebook group called Science from Above. Then my little brain goes off. I'm like, who's the author? Laura Jackson. Oh my God, Laura Jackson's the girl that started this Surviving Death before I sat down and meditated. So it just went like right around. And so I recommend this book for beginners. It's great. It spells everything out about the loved ones. And it spells out about maybe it's just not your loved one giving you that sign, but maybe it's the spirit guide or somebody above them. And if it's not them, it's like three tiers. It could be the from God itself.
Right.
So.
Absolutely.
But that's how, you know, how things, if you're open to it and look at it, it just, you know, start with a Netflix thing. Meditating, an email, say agreeing, go on the show, that nudge, which you got to follow. I'm going to start a group on Facebook called Signs from Above, and then my daughter giving me this book. It just blew my mind. So
it's a great site.
Oh, it is. Thank you.
Yeah,
yes, and thank you
is.
For
asking site.
People to join. And you know what it is? It's for people. Because there's so many people like us that are like so confident with this and connecting with our loved ones, and But there's the people out there that want to, but they're afraid to put that foot forward and step into it. And they can sit back and watch and like, hey, that happened to me. Well, that same, I get that sign. And now you see the first time people putting a little sign of a heart, a little sign of something else, a shamrock or something.
Cloud.
A cloud, yeah. And, you know, music. I had a guy, which I give him 100 credit for, posting a music, a song. And I type back in there, my brother's song was Let It Be from the Beatles. And I asked him many times for that song. And one time when I was cleaning my office out from Barrington, I said, well, never heard the song today, Joey. You know, it's my last day at work. So I'm cleaning them, get boxes, and I swear to God, like 20 minutes, half hour later, Let It Be came on. I got the phone out real fast. I'm like, oh, there's a video on this thing. I'm like trying to find it. Where's my radio? And I recorded Let It Be, and I still have it on my favorites on my phone.
Oh, wow.
Because I asked for that song, and of course it didn't come on. I'm kicking the can. I'm all upset. And then all of a sudden, it popped on. Yeah. 8 o'clock at night, I'm in the office, and it shows up. So
people need that right now. They need because it gives you hope. And I think that what we've lost in society is hope,
mm-hmm.
and faith. And there's so much negativity that, you know, we need to win the positivity back. You know, we do. We absolutely do.
Well, especially, you know, the poor people who have lost loved ones to COVID. And they couldn't go to the hospital. They couldn't touch them. They couldn't hold them. They couldn't say goodbye. There's no doubt in my mind that those loved ones are waiting.
And
they're probably dropping signs left and right, but that person who's, you know, with the grief can't see it or feel it or maybe don't believe in it, you know. And like you said earlier, maybe this is what this is about, is to tell other people that, yeah, it is possible and it does happen.
Yeah, I mean, right. I experienced that same situation last year when I lost my dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
visiting
him, you know, through the window.
That's crazy.
And that was a pretty difficult thing to do. You know, we'll talk about that some other time. But
we will.
You know, John, you know, it's fascinating, and I know for myself, once I started on this journey, it really brings in a whole nother dimension to life in general.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about also gratitude.
Yep.
And you know, for me personally, in my meditation, you know, it's about gratitude, being grateful for what you have, where you are, the people in your life. It goes through a whole list. I got to tell this quick funny story about meditation, because this past week, Pam and I were doing a meditation, and I pulled it up on YouTube, a random meditation, a guided meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're laying there to do this meditation, and then my phone buzzes, right? And so Pam's like, you know, you ought to turn off those notifications. And so
two seconds later,
the guy doing the meditation said, and you might want to turn off your notifications on your phone.
Like, we were dying.
You know, we didn't get through the meditation very easily because
we
couldn't stop
so
laughing.
Hard.
But, you know, so when you embarked on this path, you know, the question that I have is, what about the people in your life, your family? How did they come along? Or?
Somewhat, yeah, somewhat. There's a little immediate family, wife and two daughters. You know, that's just dad's thing, you know, whatever. And my wife, I think, was always kind of just set aside with it. My mother and father were somewhat open. You know, I think they're just we don't want to see, you know, ruin your reputation. I'm like, I know, Mom, but some people need to hear this. And when I would go and talk about it, people would come up to me after, thank you.
Okay, well, we're out of time already, time flies. So, I guess we're gonna have to have John back again.
You've been listening to Awakened Soul Stories on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network with host Pam Padalano, airing every Friday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Thank you for tuning in, and our hope is that we've awakened a fire in your soul and inspired you to tell your story and to make a difference. Call 401-533-1864 or email Pam at thetreeoflife222@gmail.com for more information on being a guest. Check out our archived episodes and like us on Facebook and Instagram at Awakened Soul Stories. We look forward to hearing from you and connecting with you on this spiritual journey.